Good afternoon, or should I say, shalom! This past week, I had the privilege of making a delivery up in Coleman, out where there's a lot of agriculture. And I looked, and behold, on both sides of the road, amber waves of grain, waving in the wind. And I thought, how beautiful when I can see the plan and purpose of God right in nature with my own two eyes. And then I looked at those grains waving, and I thought, you know, that is you and me. We are those first fruits. It's just exciting seeing that. But today, what I want to speak about is in the book of Ruth. There's a lesson in the book of Ruth that applies specifically to this holy day. But before we go there, if you would, please turn to the book of John. There's a statement in John about harvest. In John chapter 4, verse 35. John chapter 4, verse 35. It's where Jesus said, "Do you not say it's yet 4 months till the harvest comes? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white to harvest already." That's what I saw. He goes on, he says, "He who reaps receives wages." God does have rewards. He gathers fruit to what? To life eternal. So both that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. So clearly there's a lot involved in harvest. It takes two people, sowers and reapers, and others as well. But he goes on and he says, "And in this is the saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap on which you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you've entered into their labor." In this case, John the Baptist prepared the way for Christ. He labored a lot. He invested a lot. The 12 came along and reaped what he had sowed. Of course, in Ruth, we see that this same thing happens. But let's back up just a little bit. There is a thing that we heard yesterday in church from Mr. Kubik, our new president. And he makes a statement in here that ties in very much with the book of Ruth and the lesson from the book of Ruth. And I just want to read that one paragraph. He said, "This is my first communication as president of the United States of God." He says, "I am humbled by this new role and pray daily for God to give me wisdom, humility, and courage to carry out the duties of this office." You see, brethren, it ties in beautifully with the lesson that's in the book of Ruth. So if you will, please turn to the book of Ruth. In Ruth chapter 1, we find that this story opens up in a black time, a dark time, a difficult time. The first verse says, "It happened in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land." The land was all brown. There was no bubbling brooks. There were no birds singing. It was a bad, difficult time because the enemy was there. They were reaping what they had sowed, which was sin. And we know from reading the book of Judges that many times in their history, they were either blessed, as in Deuteronomy 28, for obeying God, humbly serving God, or they were cursed for turning their back on God. And in this case, because this time was so difficult, there was a man whose name was Elimelech, verse 2. And his wife's name was Naomi. The name of the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they were from Bethlehem, Judah. And they came to the fields of Moab and stayed there. So he was trying to get away from this difficult place. But it says Elimelech died. And also her two sons. What a tragedy. It's hard to even picture how much of a hole this must have put in her life. And, of course, these young men had taken wives. The one married Orpah, the other Ruth. And they were there about 10 years. Goes on in verse 5, says that these two sons died. And then we go down to, let's just skip down here to 6. Because this is the key to the story. It says, "She arose with her daughter-in-laws that she might return to the fields of Moab," Ruth 1:6, For she had heard in the fields of Moab how Jehovah had visited his people in giving them bread. You see, the tables had turned because the people themselves had humbled themselves. They had turned to God in that humility, asked for a deliverer, and God gave it to them because they humbled themselves. And so not only was there bread, but there was bubbling water in the creeks. There were birds singing. When God blesses, it's enormous. It's postcard. Let's skip down to verse 14. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to Naomi. Verse 15, she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people, to her gods. Go with her." But Ruth said, "Do not beg me to leave you, to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." And then she really ratchets it up. She says, "Where you die, I will die. I will be buried." And she said, "May God also do to me more also, if anything but death parts you and me." You see, Ruth is good seed. Remember the parable of the sower? She has a great attitude here. In fact, God would like to have this attitude from us toward Him. Nothing but death do us part. And when you think about what is said here, you have to realize that Naomi and her family in that previous 10 years that we read about had to have sown the seed. An important part of the work of God is that each one of us sows seed in our own families, in our own neighborhoods, at our jobs. In fact, you can see this if you hold your place there. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 4. This is nothing new. When God said in the new covenant, "Be lights into the world," go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4 because it ties in beautifully here with how Naomi had sown this seed in Ruth, and it finally took root in the land of Israel, of all things. And the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verse 6, look at what God says. "You shall keep and do these laws, for this is your wisdom, your understanding in the sight of the nations." And notice what God says, "which shall hear all these things and statutes and say." Who's hearing all these things? The nations. And what do they say? "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." Deuteronomy 4:6. Deuteronomy 4:7. "For who is a great nation whose God is coming near to them as the eternal our God is, and all are calling on Him? And who is a great nation whose statutes and judgments are righteous as all this law which is before you this day?" You see, God wanted the nation of Israel to be a light in the darkness, just like He wants us individually and collectively to be a light in the darkness. They were examples. How often? Not very. Let's go back now to Ruth again. And we want to look at something else about the first fruits. If we look at Ruth after she makes this statement, let's skip down to verse 19. "Both of them went till they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was moved about them. And they said, 'Is this Naomi?' 10 years must have aged her. And I suppose the trauma of losing her sons or husband didn't help. She said to them, 'Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me.' She said, 'I went out full, and the Eternal has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since Jehovah has testified against me? The Almighty has afflicted me.'" Sounds like atonement. Well, you know, sometimes situations in our life humble us. But the point here we find is that in the first fruits, there are times when we will have suffering. In fact, if we look at 1 Corinthians 10:13, hold your place here. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us that as God's first fruits, no temptation has taken us but what is common to man. But God is faithful. Brethren, think about that just a minute. God is faithful. who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able, but with the temptation will always make a way to escape so that you're able to bear it. You see, Ruth is suffering back here, and look at what God has already done. He's given her, Naomi is suffering here. She has a big hole in her life. God hears her suffering. And we're going to see it further on here how much he heard that suffering. Now, as we move on here, sorry about that. I had to staple everything here to keep it from blowing away. Okay, let's go to chapter 2. In chapter 2, we're introduced to a man called Boaz, verse 1. And then Ruth, who's penniless and a foreigner, goes out to glean ears of grain, verse 2. And then, just as luck would have it, she went out to a field of Boaz, verse 3. Now let's focus on Ruth 2, verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, Jehovah's Eternal will be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Now what's significant here is we see why these people were blessed, why they had bread, why they had blessings, because they realized where those blessings come from. It's even in their everyday greeting. They acknowledge God is the giver of that bread and every good thing. Now let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We've been in Corinthians today. Let's look at 1 Corinthians here. The wind's trying to beat the pages back faster than I can. Well, I'll get there eventually. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll look at verse 5. Here again, Paul is using an agricultural concept in a spiritual way. Paul says, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. You see these men working with Boaz, and Boaz himself understood this. They were good seed. That's why they're first fruits. And look what he says here. Verse 7, so neither is he that plants anything or he that waters, but God that gives the increase. As first fruits, we have to always realize that the increase in our lives as fruit comes from God. And going on with the story here, it says, and the servant who was set over the reapers answered and said, Boaz said to the servant who was over the reapers, whose girl is this? Ruth 2, verse 5. And they answer in Ruth 2, 6, the servant who was over the reapers answered and said, this girl is from Moab, who came back with Naomi of the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Because after all, she's penniless and foreign. And she came and she kept on from morning until now, and she only stayed a little while in the house. So right away we find that Ruth is a hard worker, and she's there, not only serving herself, but serving Naomi, humbly serving. Verse 8, Boaz said to Ruth, do you hear, my daughter? Do not go and glean another field, neither go from here, but stay here close by my maidens. Let your eyes be on the field they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men that they should not touch you? So she's found grace. And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from the water which the young men have drawn. And then look at what Ruth says. This is important. This is what God wants from his first fruits. He wants humility and service. Then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, and said to him, why have I found grace in your eyes, that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Ruth has a beautiful attitude. Going on, Boaz said to her, this is verse 14, at mealtime, come in here and eat the bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. and she sat beside the reapers. And he handed her roasted grain, and she ate and was satisfied and left. And when she had risen to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not rebuke her." There's a verse in the book of James, and I'm sure you all know it. It's the one where God says that when we humble ourselves, He will lift us up. And you see that Ruth is being blessed. She's being lifted up. She's being granted favor because of her humble service. And as we go on, verse 16, it says, "Also let handfuls on purpose for her, and leave them so that she may glean them too, and do not rebuke her." And it says she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned. And it was about a ephah of barley, verse 17. She took it and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought it forth and gave it to her, serving her mother-in-law. And in verse 19, her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you gleaned today? Where did you work?" And notice what she says here. "Blessed is he who took notice of you." She knew that there's no way this girl's going to bring that much home. It was the blessing of God. It was the grace of God. She understood it. And going on here, let's drop down to 20. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed is he of the Eternal, who has not left off his kindness to the living and the dead." And Naomi said to her, "The man is near of kin to us. He is of our redeemers." Verse 21. And Ruth of Moab said, "He said to me also, 'You shall keep close by my young men, whom I have, until they have ended all my harvest.'" Verse 22. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law Ruth, "Good, my daughter. You go out with his maidens, so that they do not fall upon you in any other field." And in verse 23, she kept close with by the maidens of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest. The lesson of chapter 2 is God's first fruits are humbly working in God's harvest. You see, what the lesson is in Ruth is that humility and service go hand in hand. When we keep the days of unleavened bread, the subject is pushing the sin out. On this one, we take it up another notch, because we look at that humility that's also pictured in that unleavened bread. And God says, put something with it. Work. Put something with it. Service. You see that in Ruth, this book that bears her name. She serves, she serves, she serves humbly. By the way, I have this glove on because I have poison ivy on this hand. But I thought it would illustrate a point. What is being said here in the book of Ruth, from one end to the other, is that God wants us to take service, like our hand, and put it in a glove so that that service goes with humility. As you know, brethren, there are men who go to war and serve their country and are willing to die for their country. That's service. There are people who get into politics and, well, not very many. There's a few that serve. But my point here is, the service that's being spoken of here in God's Word, this humble service, it doesn't exist apart from God. You see, God wants this service from us. He wants it to be a light to the world. He wants us to be humble servants. Let's look at chapter 3. Now in chapter 3, Naomi herself is thinking, how can I serve my daughter? How can I serve this young woman who served me so well? So in verse 1, you find out what she does. She says, "My daughter, shall I not seek a rest for you so that it may be well with you?" She's thinking about her well-being, her welfare. She's esteeming her needs. And she said, "Now is it not Boaz our kindred, and he with whose maidens you were? Behold, he winnows barley tonight in the threshing floor." She said, "Therefore, wash yourself, put on some perfume, put on the clothing that looks good, go down to the floor, do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking." Verse 4, "And when he lies down, you mark the place where he lies, and you shall go in and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." Now, here's what's interesting again about the character of Ruth that God wants from you and me. Ruth answers and she says, "All that you say, I will do." You see, she didn't question. She's a foreigner. She didn't say, "Well, this is kind of a weird concept. Well, this is strange. Why do I have to do this? Why should I do it that way? Can I do it another way?" None of that. That's the attitude God wants in His first fruits. Verse 6, she went down to the grain floor and did it all according as her mother-in-law had told her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of a heap. And she came softly, apparently extremely softly, because when she uncovered his feet and lay down, he didn't wake up. Next verse, and it happened at midnight. The man trembled and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. So finally he woke up. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am your handmaid Ruth, and you shall spread your skirt over your handmaid, for you are a kinsman redeemer." Verse 10, and he said, look at his response. Again, it's a serving, giving attitude. He says, "Blessed be you of Jehovah, my daughter. You have shown me more kindness in your latter end than in the beginning. And if you did not follow young men, whether poor or rich," he doesn't look on himself as young. So it's interesting. Let's keep on going here. He says, "And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do all that you ask, for all the city of my people knows that you are a woman of virtue." You know what we're reading here? Good seed and first fruits bear fruit. He's right now recognizing all the fruit that this woman has produced in this time that she's been there. Going on, he says, "Now it's true that I am your kinsman, but there's one nearer than I." Well, let's skip down to verse 16. So Ruth comes back to her mother-in-law, and mother-in-law says, "How did it go?" Ruth said to her all that the man had done. Verse 17, and she said, "These 6 measures of barley also he gave to me, for he said to me, 'Do not go empty to your mother-in-law.'" You see, Boaz is serving Naomi. And she said, "Still, my daughter, until you know how the matter will fall." And she makes an interesting statement about the character of Boaz. She said, "For the man will not rest until he has finished this thing today." You see, brethren, that's an attitude God wants in His first fruits. Now, there's a scripture I overlooked. No, we'll just forget that one. Let's go to chapter 4. Boaz went up into the gate and sat down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spoke came by. And he said to such a one, "Turn aside, sit down here." So he turned aside and sat down. Verse 2, he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Come, sit down here." He wanted witnesses. And he said to the kinsman, "Naomi, who has gone again out of the country of Moab, sells a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's." Verse 4. And I said, "I will tell it in your ear, saying, buy it before those who live here and before the elders of my people. If you redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not redeem it, tell me so that I may know. For there is none to redeem besides you, and I'm after you." And he said, "Okay, I will." Next verse. Verse 6, and the kinsman said, well, pardon me, I left that part here. Let's read verse 5. Boaz says, "In the day that you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you must buy also the hand of Ruth from Moab, the wife of the dead, to raise up a name to the dead upon his inheritance." In verse 6, then the man says, "I can't redeem it, lest I mar my own inheritance. You redeem it for yourself." And if we skip down to verse 9, we read where, and Boaz said to the elders of the city and all the people, "You are witnesses of this day, and I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's from the hand of Naomi, And then Boaz says an interesting statement here. Boaz says, "And also Ruth of Moab, the wife of Mahlon," actually she was the wife of Elimelech, "I have purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead on his inheritance, that the dead may not be cut off among his brothers. You are witnesses this day." This ties in with Ephesians 1:14, which was read today, which talks about where Jesus has actually purchased the first fruits. There's also a verse in 1 Corinthians 6:20 that uses the same word, redeemed. We, the first fruits, are redeemed. And if you will, turn to Revelation 19. And we'll look at 6 through 9. In Revelation 19, verse 6, it says, "And I heard as the sound of a great multitude, the sound of many waters, the sound of strong thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord omnipotent reigns." And he says, "Let us be glad and rejoice, and we will give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come." And what does it say about the first fruits here? Our destiny? "The wife has prepared herself, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Verse 9, "And he said to me, Write, blessed are those who have been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true sayings of God." You see, this ties in with the last part of the book of Ruth. And we'll go back there to the Ruth, and again, chapter 4. Because this book of Ruth, it ends in such a joyous time. In fact, there's great joy here. Of course, we just read about where he purchased his bride. Let's go on here in verse 11. And it says, "And all the people in the gate and the elders said, We are witnesses. And they said, May the Eternal make the woman who has come into your house like Rachel and Leah." This is significant. "For these two built the house of Israel. And may you be blessed in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem." Verse 12. "And let your house be like the house of Perez, who Tamar bore to Judah, of the seed which the Eternal shall give you to this young man." And Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went into her, the Eternal made her to conceive, and she bore a son. And remember how Naomi was in the first part of this book, empty? She said, "Call me Mara." And I said, God hears our groanings, because she was groaning. She's first fruits. Look at how God answered her. Look at how he did it. "And the women said to Naomi, Blessed be you of the Eternal, who has not left you this day without a redeemer, so that his name may be famous in Israel." And look at what else she says. "And he shall be a restorer of life, one who cheers you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you, has borne him, and she is better to you than seven sons." And then it says, next verse, "And Naomi took the child, laid it in her bosom, and became nurse to it." Do you think God filled that big hole that was in Naomi? Not only did he fill it, her cup overflowed. Now, if we look at the whole book of Ruth, from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, I want to make an analogy here about music. God calls all of his first fruits out of the world, out of darkness. Just like when this story begins, they actually live in Moab, a place of darkness. And then God sows his seed in us, and then we begin to grow. And we see that in the beautiful attitude of Ruth, where she says, "Till death do us part." So let's think about the book of Ruth as music. When it begins, it has this dark tone, this dark sound, mournful sound, because we're all called out of darkness. We're all called out of trespasses and sin, called into the marvelous light. And that music would only play for a little while, because it's quickly going to go into something that's reflective, because that's what Naomi was when she looked at her life and poured it out to God. And then that music's going to get better and sweeter, because it talks about how Ruth served and served and served. In fact, there's one place in the Bible where it says, I had it marked here. Well, what it says is that Ruth had served so much that she had a tremendous reward. Reward was the word used, and my page is missing. Sorry about that. But I can tell you what the word says. Boaz said to her, "I've looked at everything you've done for Naomi. I've looked how you've humbly served her. And believe me, there is a reward for people like you." And the reason I bring this out is because we are all the first fruits. When we humbly serve each other, when we are lights into the darkness, when we sow seed without even trying, we're doing the same thing. And we read it in John where he said at the beginning, there's a reward for all of God's people who do this. But there's something I want to ask you to do concerning this harvest, something all of us can do. Please turn to, I think it's Luke 9:35. No, Matthew. Pardon me. Matthew. I had staples in it to keep it from blowing away. Matthew chapter 9. Because there's something I want to ask each of you to do about this very harvest, the whole book about harvest. This whole book about having that humble serving attitude. Matthew 9 and verse 35 through 38. It says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people he was serving. But seeing the crowds, he was moved with compassion on them because they were tired, scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. And he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And then he asked them to do something. And he's asking you and me to do the same thing. He says, "Pray the Lord of harvest that he will send laborers into his harvest." I remember years ago when I used to sit and listen to Mr. Armstrong. And he would say, "We're not called for our own salvation." Well, God wants to give it to us. But he said, "We're called to be part of God's work of sharing that with other people." And he says, to the degree that we are involved in that seed, in that sowing, in that reaping, in that serving, he says, that's how we grow. Now I want to look at another place. This is so important about praying this Lord of Harvest because he asked us to. And there's another part, I think it's in Luke. Yes, let's go to Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, verse 1, what we find is, After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others, and he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he was about to go. In verse 2, he said to them, same thing he said earlier, but this is a different context. He said, pray the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And I want to show you something here. Look at what he says. He says, go, behold, I send you forth as what? Lambs among wolves. What does that tell us? He sent them as humble servants, as lambs. A lamb is about as humble as you can get. So what we learn then from Ruth, this book in there about this time of harvest, and what we learn from these two accounts right here about the Lord of harvest, is that to this very day there is a harvest. And that to this very day, God gives us specific instruction. He says to each one of us that we have something we can do. That we can go to God with our humble prayers for His work. And that we can say, open doors, send laborers. And then we can follow that up with humbly serving each other.